All right, welcome to everyone. The 13 Pillars, Part 11, sponsored again by Becky Navi Katz, Le'ilu Nishmas Yonah Ben Reb Aryeh Leib. Tonight we discuss Charv HaOnesh, reward and punishment. It's actually an ikur, a fundamental that is often foremost on people's minds because it relates directly to us. It's very personal to us. For many people, Rahman al-Islam, it's the sole reason why they serve God altogether, why they follow the Torah, because there's reward promised as part of the Torah. And because of that, it's subject to the gravest distortions possible. And I think all the Yesodos are important, but this is especially so. One's entire approach to Torah and Avodas Hashem is dependent on it. So therefore it's very key. This Yesod has a very simple proposition. Look at number one. Again, the Rambam in the Parash of Mishnayos. Yesod acharasar ki hu yis'al nosein sachar l'misho se mitzvos ha-Torah. This principle is that God grants reward to those who do the mitzvahs of the Torah. V'ya'anish l'misho over al-azhar o-seho. And he punishes those who violate its admonitions. The greatest possible reward is the world to come. The punishment that's the greatest as well, the fiercest, is Hakares. Hakares is extinction of the soul. Olam Haba is eternal life of the soul. Kares is extinction of the soul, its opposite. Rambam's already discussed this, in fact, in the introduction to Chelek, which ends, or in the middle, you find these yesodos. By mikra moral yesod hazeh, the pasuk that teaches this yesod, that verifies it, mashenemar, when Moshe came down from the mountain and broke the luchos and pleaded with God of Kol Yisrael, so God said to him, he said to God, v'atom tisach atasom, that if you overlook their sin, fine. V'mayin, if not, erase me from the book that you wrote. He who sinned against me, he is the one. They are the ones I will erase from my book. The proof being that the sinner knows the reward goes to one and the punishment goes to the other. It's interesting, you could have found probably a number of other psukim in the Torah to confirm that principle, but be that as it may, you find literally dozens of statements in Tanakh regarding this Yesod. I just chose two, if I'm not mistaken, we encountered these before, both from Yirmiyahu. Ani Hashem Choker Le Bochen Kloyos, in fact we encountered it last week. I am God who searches hearts, discerns heart, Bochen Kloyos, who tests one's innards, and to repay man according to his ways and to the fruits, the consequences of his deeds. So too, God is great in wisdom, abundant in, I'm sorry, great in counsel, abundant in his deeds. Whose eyes are always open to the ways of each man. To repay each person in accordance with his ways and the consequences of his deeds. So it's pretty straightforward. It's the type of idea that's verified in the Torah and the Nevi'im and in the Ksuvim as well. And it applies to everyone. And the Chilta says in Parshas Mishpatim, hey, it's this week's Sedra, what a coincidence. So we can't eat nevela. Nevela is meat from an animal that died of the disease, or was killed improperly. What do we do with it? You should give it to the dog. This week's address. You'd ask, why give it to the dog? I mean, throw it out altogether. Why would the Torah specify how we deal with something that has absolutely no halachic significance? Why state that it should be thrown to the dogs? To teach us that God does not withhold reward from any creature. The dog gets his due. Shenemar ulecho b'nei Yisrael lo yecharatz kelev l'shono, the night of the Geula, the night of the 15th of Nisan, it was complete silence. Even a dog did not lap his tongue. No dog barked that night. That was the extent of the quiet. And the dogs didn't bark. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tein lo scharo, give the dog his reward. What does the dog want? Nevelo, someone has to eat it. Lakelev tashlichun aso. If this applies to an animal, it will apply even more so to a human being, that God does not withhold his reward. Shenemar, pasuk in Yirmiyahu as well, from the Haftorah of Parshas Bechukosai, kare dagar velo yalod, ose osher velo b'mishpat. The dagar is a partridge. The partridge sits on its chicks. I'm sorry, the partridge sits on eggs that are not its own. It sits on someone else's eggs. It seizes the eggs of another bird, partridge. Osa, that's, therefore, it's analogous to osa osher v'lo b'mishpat, to a person who gains wealth unjustly. What do we say about such a person? B'chatzi amav yazvenu. It'll abandon him halfway through his days. And at the end of his days, he'll be absolutely nothing. He'll be meaningless. Or Bernie Madoff. Osa osha bob mishpat, it abandons him and his end is navol. That is the fate of the rasha. So God does not withhold schar from the creature that deserves it, like God does not withhold punishment from the creature that deserves it either. And reward even applies to a rasha. Look at the next case. The Gemara Nozir Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis Gufa Om Rav Yudah Marav La'olam Yasa Godam B'Torah Mitzvah Zafil Shelo Lishmon Shemitach Shelo Lishmon Bo Lishmon. A person should always be involved in Torah Mitzvahs, even if it's not for its own sake, even for an ulterior motive. Because when you start with an ulterior motive, eventually you'll do it for its own sake. Shebischar membeis karbono shehikriv Balak harasha zocha v'yotza mimenu rus. Balak, you'll recall, asked Bilam to offer 42 offerings, sacrifices. Because of that, to God. Because of that, he was zocha to be the ancestor of Rus. The Amar Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Chanina, Rus bas benel shel Eglon melech Moav haisa. Rus was Eglon's granddaughter. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minay shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu mekapech afilu schar sichono. How do we know that God does not withhold reward even for a pleasant conversation? So that we see from Moav and Ammon, the ilu bechira de krisei Moav, omle rachmona al tetaras Moav, al tataras Moav al tizgar ba milchama. Don't antagonize them. Don't provoke a war with them. Milchama hu dula aval tzuri tzarinam, but you could still torment them. Ve'ilu tzeira de krisei ben ami, but the Lot's younger daughter who called her son Ammon ben ami. Can't even torment them. What's talking about when Lot committed incest with his daughters? So the first one brazenly named, the older daughter brazenly named her son Moav, meaning from my father. That impudence merited that we should not attack them, but we could, if necessary, torment them. Whereas the younger daughter called her son Ammon, meaning from my people, no direct reference to her father, a much more delicate phrase. So she was rewarded, her descendants, afilu tsa'urei lo tsa'arin klal. We can't even torment them. We treat Ammon better than we treat Moav. You have other cases like this in the Gemara. Nebuchadnezzar was rewarded because he stood up when a message came from Daniel brought a message from God to him, and Eglon also, the same thing as the case of Melech Moav here. Eglon stood up when Ehud Ben Gera came as a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he too was rewarded. You see, even a rasha can be rewarded for the good that he does. That's schar va'onesh. Now, of course, there are a number of ramifications of schar va'onesh. Some of them we've touched on in the past. One, last week. One obvious consequence of this yisod of schar va'onesh is that there is a notion, it verifies the notion of hashgacha pratis, there's divine providence, that God is involved in human affairs. If there's no schar va'onesh, then God is a creator who walked away. Last week's yisod, that of God's omniscience, the tenth yisod, of course, is indispensable to this one. That presupposes God's involvement in human affairs. But nonetheless, this is a further development. This builds on that, that it, so to speak, matters to God what happens here, and not just that he knows what's happening here. The yisod of omniscience, that God knows what's happening amongst mankind. This yisod of schar va'onesh posits that God, so to speak, cares what happens, that he has a system, he has a goal, a plan for mankind, and mankind either follows his will or frustrates it. So the premise of schar va'onesh is God's omniscience, that there's hashgacha pratis. Secondly, most critically, the notion of bechira chofshis, that there's free choice. This yisod presupposes that there's free choice, because if there would be no free choice, no free will for human beings, then how could there possibly be schar va'onesh? This the Rambam speaks about at length. Look at number 7, the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Aleph, Reshus l'chol odom nesuno im ratzo lahatos atzmo l'derech tova v'lios tzadik ha-reshus b'yado. Permission is granted to every human being. If he wishes to turn to the way of good, be righteous, he can. If he wants to turn the other way, he also can. That's the statement made about Adam Arishon after the Chait, that now he's like one of us. What does it mean, one of us? Klomar. Hein min ze shel Adam hoya yochid ba'olam, vein min sheni dome lo bezeho inyon. There's only one species like man in the universe. There's no other like him. In the sense that who may atzmo bedaito u'machshavto yodea hatov v'hara, that he can know, he can contemplate what's good and evil, he can think before he acts, va'osa koma shuchafetz, he can do whatever he wills, whatever he desires, he's not forced to do anything. Meaning with man we don't say he is always perforce an instinctual creature. Animals operate with instinct and almost not at all with volition. Man is a completely volitional creature. No one can prevent him from doing good or evil. No thing can prevent him from doing good or evil. So therefore he could stay his hand as well. Halacha bez. Al yavur b'machshavtecha dover zesh omer ptipshe umos olam v'rov gol me b'nei Yisrael. Don't let the thought cross your mind that what the fools of the nations and the dummies of Israel say. Shekadosh Baruch Hu gozer al ha'odom itchilas b'riyaso lios tzadik ha'rasha. Don't think for a moment that God decrees on human beings from when they were born that they're going to be righteous or wicked. Ein adover ken. It's not so. El kolodom roi lios lo Roy lo lios tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu, any person can be as righteous as Moshe, or rasha ki Yeravam, or as wicked as Yeravam ben Nevot. O chacham osachol, O rachaman o achzari, O kili o shua, he could be wise or foolish, he could be merciful or cruel, he could be generous or he can be miserly. V'chein shal kol adeyas, and all the other attributes of man. There's no one who could force him or decree a certain trait upon him or to pull him in one of the two directions. But he himself, of his own free will, of his own knowledge, so he can tend to want to which direction he chooses. That's what Yirmiyahu said in Echa, Mipi al Yon lo seitzei haroz vatov. the good and the evil do not come from above. Klomar, Ein Abore Gozer Al Odom Lios Tov V'Lo Lios Ra. God doesn't decree on man to be good and not evil. V'Kevon Shekein U'Nimtza Zachote Hu Ifsidis Atzmo. So it comes out then that a person who is wicked, he has forfeited his own life. Therefore, he should cry, he should wail over his sins, and that what he has done to his soul caused it evil. That's Mayis Onin Adam Chai Gevra Chataav. And he continues as well, Ho Rishusena Biodeno Midaitenu Asina Kolaros. Since we did this of our own free will, whatever it was, if it was a sin, Roy Lono Lachazor B'tshuva V'Lazov Rishenu, therefore it's appropriate to repent and abandon our ways. Sharashus Ata V'Yadenu Hu Shekosuv Acharov Nachbisod Rechenu V'Nachkorov V'Nashuv Al Hashem. Since man has free choice, he can choose the good. Since he has free choice, he could choose evil. Since even after he commits evil, he has free choice, he can choose to repent also. Tshuva is always available. And finally, in number 8, Dalid, Ilu ha'el ha'ya gozer al ha'odam liyos tzadik or rasha. If God decreed on man that he should be righteous or evil, or ilu ha'ya sam davar shemoshech es ha'odam be'ikr tol adetel l'derech min adrochim. If God had implanted something in man that pulled him from birth in one or another direction, in any trait, in any thought, in any deed, what the fools fabricate on their own, if that were the case, how could God have commanded us through his prophets, do this or don't do that? If by our very nature we were forced to do X or precluded from doing Y, how could we possibly be commanded? How could that be? Or from our very birth, it had already been decreed, or from our birth we were drawn in a direction from which we could not budge. Umama kom hayalachol Torah kulo uveza dineza mishpat nifrim in arusha o meshalim schar latzadik. How then could you possibly punish a wicked person or repay a tzadik for his good? Hashofet kolatz liyase mishpat. So inherent in the idea of the Torah is that the scales of bechira are always balanced. And we can tamper with it by not pursuing the good or becoming addicted to evil, but nonetheless, from the time we're born, it's completely even. There's a question on this. Yes.
So what's the sounding of Aesop in the Torah? Identify first.
Ah, okay. Right. The Torah alludes to the fact that Aesop was already a Rasha, Mechfarches, Lotzes, Levesa, Vodazara. Okay. Aesop is one case. Bring it up to date because it's the same answer. The Jewish world was wrestling with the problem of a cultural change in society towards homosexuals. There was a thing at YU last month, and there's a whole tumult now, even in our world, that many people have embraced the notion of psychologists, not a scientific notion, but the notion of psychologists, that homosexuality is inbred. The person is born with it. If that's the case, it would seem to defy what the Rambam is saying. Much like David's question, if the Torah posits that Esav was already a Rasha in the womb, then what choice did he possibly have? So the answer to both is really the same. To say that a person has even scales, can choose the derech that he wants to choose, that's an absolute. If we said differently, then the whole Torah would be undermined and this pillar itself would be shaky. That's not to say that people are not born with tendencies. Everyone is born with tendencies. In fact, if you look at the list the Rambam mentions, that a person has a choice to be a Chacham or a Sachal, a Rachman, a Zari, a Chili, Yeshua, has a choice to be wise or foolish. Well, let's take that. Does a person have a choice to be wise or foolish? In an absolute sense, yes. In a relative sense, no. In other words, there are people are born with limited intellectual capabilities. People are born with substantial intellectual capabilities. So you'll say one is better off than the other, right? No, not necessarily. That's because the person who has limited intellectual capabilities can make a choice to maximize whatever abilities he has. And the person who has substantial abilities can make the choice not to utilize it at all and instead become a card player and basically waste his mind. It's the same thing with Rahman or Achzari. You see this in children. Some children are inherently soft, meek, pleasant. Other children, either they're all cute, every infant is adorable. Some are actually quite tyrannical and despotic. And they're the ones in the nursery who are grabbing the toys from the others, who are grabbing the blocks. Every child goes through a stage like that, but you see the personalities are not the same. So too with generosity or miserliness. Some people are just more generous by nature. Others are more miserly by nature. Everyone is different in that sense. Everyone has a different composite of character traits. See, you should understand the Rambam to mean that people are born without any traits at all, without any tendencies. It's not so. We are born with tendencies. The question then becomes, what does one do with those tendencies? If the tendencies are good, so exploit them, maximize them. If the tendencies are bad, they have to be suppressed, they have to be channeled elsewhere. The same thing with homosexuality. Look, I'm an agnostic on whether they're born like that, not born with that. I'm not such an agnostic. I would say for the most part they're not. Maybe some are. But some people are born homicidal. Some people are born as kleptomaniacs. You have all sorts of maladies in the world. The question then becomes, what do you do in that particular situation? If I have a trait that I can't, or a character trait that I can't control, or a tendency that I can't control, do I then say, well, evidently it's not part of the Torah, because why was I born like this? Well, you could say, why was a person born with one arm? Why was a person born with a limited intellect? Or why was a person born with a cruel nature? People are born with different tendencies. You know, the bottom line is, it's really a bell curve. The extremes are at either end, and most people are broad middle. They have something, some aspect or some element of every trait. Some exaggerate one trait at either end, either for good or for bad. The question is how a person deals with it, and that's what the Rambam is talking about. Notice the expression that he uses, means it's immovable. He can't control it. That is either a pathology, to which we'd say, onus rachmana patre, a person who cannot control himself psychologically. So that's a case of onus. He's forced into it and he's exempt. He's not liable under the law. But that's not most people. Most people have traits. We wouldn't say because a person has a bad trait, he has shalozuz mimeno, he can't budge it. No, budge. Use your will. Use your free choice. Don't act on it. No one's forcing you to act on it. Only people who are forced to act on something are onsim. And that is a very, very small minority of cases that would say a person is an onus in any particular trait that is on the spectrum. It's a very small number of people. So the bottom line is, I mean, my own personal feeling is that I don't really care what people do in their bedroom. It's not my business. Why it has to become a public issue is a mystery to me, except for the need for legitimacy. But I don't really want to know why people think they have to broadcast it. Is, I guess, part of the cultural winds that blow through our world today. But nonetheless, if you have a tendency the Torah says is asur, you can't act on it. It's as simple as that. The same psychologists who say that homosexuality is innate also tell us that man is not cut out for monogamy. So go tell it to your wives, your husbands. You know, the psychologists say, I'm not cut out for monogamy. Try that argument. That's not going to work. Control yourself. That's what the Torah says. Question? Maybe you had a question. No, okay. So the second ramification of Tzchar V'Onesh The first was Hashgacha Pratis. The second is the second presupposition is Bechira Chavshus, and the third is Olam Haba. Olam Haba. Look at the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Olam Haba has to be an element of Schar VaOnesh for a number of reasons. One, we mentioned a while back that it would be impossible to posit that the only reward that exists in for mitzvos would be something in this world, because there's nothing that can compare to Torah in this world. So you'd give a candy bar to someone as a mitzvah. The reward is not appropriate to the act that was done. So therefore, this presupposes that there is a venue with a reward, a spiritual reward, a reward of the soul, is something that can be enjoyed. But look at the bottom, it's underneath 8. We'll call it 8a for the record. The Gemara Erevin, Da Chavezim, and Aleph, Lo Yachel Lissono, it's possibly at the end of Akev, I think. Zvarim, Omer Avila, Lissonov, Huda Lo Yachel, Lo Yachel Lissonov, God will not delay retribution to his foes. To his foes he won't delay. Avol Yachel Tzadikim Gemurim, but God will delay reward to the completely righteous. V'ahayna the Omer of Shubin Levi, May Dechsiv, Asher Nachim Etzavcho Hayom La'asosam, that which I command you today to do, Hayom La'asosam, today to do, now is the time of activity. V'lo L'machar La'asosam, tomorrow, next world, that's not the place for performance. Hayom La'asosam, L'machar L'kabel Scharam, today we act, and the reward is tomorrow. Amar Rav Chagai, Vitem Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, May Dechsiv, Erech Apayim. What does it mean? God is long-suffering, but Apayim is plural. Erech Af Meboyelei. El Erech Apayim LaTzadikim, Erech Apayim LaRashayim. That God is patient, both for the righteous and the wicked, as we'll see in a few moments. Good number 12 on the left side. Pasuk at the end of Achremos, Vishmartem eschukosai v'smishvatei asher yaseh osam odom b'chai bohem, ani Hashem. God tells us to preserve the statutes and the laws that he gives to us, b'chai bohem, we should live by them. When do we live by the mitzvahs? So Rashi says there, v'chai bohem, l'olam haba, in the next world. Shem tomar b'olam hazeh, if you'd say we live with the mitzvahs, in this world, how could that be? The end of all flesh is that we die. So then how could that be v'chai bohem? Ani Hashem ne'emon l'shalem schar. That reward will come. And it's Sajagon in Maimer Tess of Ha'amunos v'Hadeos, number 14, makes the same point, but in a very interesting way. He says, the seichel itself, our intellect, our common sense, obligates us to one conclusion. What seems to us from God's wisdom and capabilities and his willingness to do good for his creatures, it wouldn't be logical that the measure of the good that he wants to provide to this soul, meaning the good soul, It can't be, it's not logical to say that the good is that he will find in, he will bring to him in this world, give him some of this world's pleasures and this world's favors. Any good that exists in this world is always accompanied by some bad, some evil. There's no such thing as an unequivocal good. Every success has toil, exertion with it. Every hana has pain with it as well. What does that mean? Why do you eat? You look forward to a good meal, right? You have to be hungry. You have a tsar of hunger. And then you eat, you have a tsar of eating too much. In the middle it's the hana, but every hana has tsar with it. Vimkol simcha, Avel. Every simcha has a little mourning with it as well. So everything then is going to be even. You could even say, it would even seem that there could be more sad things than happy things. I don't think it's what he means. I think he does mean something else that we know to be true. Sadness lingers more than happiness. Right? You could have a happy event, and you're happy, and you remain happy. If you take a sad event, someone dies, so colors your whole life. That never changes. A happy event can change your life. A child is born, but it's not the same happiness. It changes. But a death, that changes, because everything becomes different. So therefore, you can't say that the reward for mitzvos will be tuv olam hazeh. Tuv olam hazeh has to be limited by nature. It's never completely good. It's never completely whole. Aside from the fact that it doesn't speak directly to the soul. So therefore, last line, avoroi sheyeh mizamen lo mador sheyesh b'chayim hagumurim atzlocha miyuchedes yamsiu oso. Therefore, there has to be a mador, there has to be an abode, has to be a place of complete, perfect life, of an unequivocal good, unequivocal success that the soul can enjoy, and that can't be part of the world of the physical. So those are three consequences or presuppositions of Schar V'Onesh, that there's Hashgach HaPratis, divine providence, that there is Bechir HaChofshis, there's free will, and that there's Olam HaBa, a place of reward. We'll get back to that in a few moments. I want to just jump off on a tangent for a second. You're curious about the pictures on the left side. So part of the problem of Schar V'Onesh in our world is we seek to undercut it. It seems that fewer and fewer Jews are comfortable with the system that God has set up. Do mitzvos and there's good, do averos and there's bad. So therefore, we have now entered a world in which shortcuts around Schar V'Onesh, known as sgulos, are rampant, almost to the point that they've become religious necessities for Jews, even though by and large they tend to be more idolatrous than Torah dick. Look at number 9. These are advertisements I cut out years ago. The first is, bless you, the first of something that I didn't know what it was. It's Chai Rotel Mashke on the side is some type of drink that people... Lag B'Omer and Meron. Okay, I hear you. It says, do you want to be blessed with children, refuos, shiduchim, parnasa, shalom bayis, or any other salvation? Put the power of Chai Rotel to work for you. As if you drink that drink.
What was the connection with
Lag B'Omer?
What is the connection?
I have no idea.
Hey, by Lag B'Omer.
Well, Chai Iyar, Lag B'Omer. I mean, the name itself or the drink?
No,
maybe it's water from Meron. I don't know what it is. I frankly don't know what it is. I saw in a magazine years ago. The bottom line is drink this drink, and you'll have all these things come your way. Next, there's another advertisement in a magazine. Do you want a holy tzaddik and gon as your heavenly advocate? Take advantage of this rare opportunity. The revered and celebrated gon, the Maharal something, I crossed out the name to protect his honor, he allegedly said before he died, I will come to the defense of whomever will exert himself to print my svarim. As you pay for his svarim to be printed, or pay for the publisher to print the svarim today, and he will intercede in the heavenly court to see that you get all mishalos libcha, whether latova or not. What gives a human being that power? That I cannot answer. That is an enigma. And of course, the next was date set aside for consultation and blessing, or for removing an ayin hara, evil eye. Please call for an appointment to such and such human being. Now, the problem with all this, all these various tchotchkes, and the others that I've mentioned in the past, the chamsa, the red bendel, etc., is that they're shortcuts. It says essentially that it doesn't matter what we do or how we live as long as we do this act. In other words, none of these acts involve mitzvos necessarily. None of them involve good deeds. So what it posits to us is you can live any way you want, but if you have this protection in your corner, whether this drink or this tchotchke or this object or this mantra, then you're going to be saved from any possible harm, and you're going to be rewarded with whatever blessing you seek. Now, some of the acts, as you see, are quite exotic. And there even more, a growth industry in Jewish life. Even the recession hasn't dampened it. In fact, I think it's the opposite. The recession has proven a boon, because I hear of new zulos week after week. Rabbi Avner is actually asked about this quite frequently on his SMS messages. Is this a school? Is that a school? I mentioned one the last Friday night. Someone said, if you pray, if you daven at the Kotel 40 straight days, you'll get a shidduch. He said, it was asked any truth in that. I said, it would help to get a date. That would be the first thing that you need, even before the Kotel. He said, it's always good to pray at the Kotel, but we only have a limited number of schoolos in Jewish life. They're known as Tarek Mitzvos. Those are the schoolos. Shuvah, Tfilah, Tzedakah, those are the schoolos. That's what God gave us. God gave us none of this. Human beings are giving us this and selling it to people who are vulnerable. It's very interesting that not only are these things a violation of Torah, but the truth is you can't even do mitzvos with the intention of saying to God, I'll do this and give me children, foolish, yiduchim, parnasa, shalom bayis, and whatever else you want. How do we know this? The Torah says in Akev, that God is Asher lo yisof fanim v'lo yikach shochad. God doesn't play favorites, nor does he take bribes, and the Medrash says, afilu shochad mitzvos. God doesn't even take bribes of mitzvos. And the Sarno says, I didn't copy it, ran in the room, but the Sarno says right there something quite insightful. I'll read it to you. Lo yosir klal me'ona sha'aveira b'shvil z'chus mitzvos she'osa achotei. That a person is not going to avoid a punishment for a sin because of the merit that he has for a particular mitzvah that he did. Ke'omram zal, chazal say, a mitzvah mechaba aveira. A mitzvah does not extinguish an aveira. V'chol zeyora shalot tiftuchu imtechetu li nutzel b'shum z'chus menonish klal. And therefore this teaches us that you should not think that you can escape punishment by any z'chus for averis that you did, except for one mitzvah, which has the power to overcome any sin. And what's that? Tshuva shleima. Zulasi, tshuva shleima. If with repentance, that is the key. But you notice, in none of these things, in none of these advertisements, does it even call upon a person to do tshuva. Nothing. All of them, by the way, involve money passing from one person to the beneficiary, all right? But none of them involve any tshuva, any real act on a person's part, except for these symbolic acts. Now, these are three advertisements, but they're not atypical. In fact, they're very common in our world today. You could pick up any Jewish newspaper and find advertisements almost on a weekly basis for some gimmick like this. Yes, sir. Right, so is there a difference between that and someone going to a Rebbe, he's a problem with his son, it's repeating the question, and the Rebbe tells him to say 28 Hail Marys. Ah, I'm sorry, 28 Pitlach Tehillim, and it'll go away. Right, so this we discussed also a few weeks, so it came up in a related context, but you could always ask someone for advice. You should ask someone for advice. You can even ask people to daven for you, daven with you. But to think a human being has the power to intervene and change your life, if you give him money, things will change in your life, that seems to be a mistaken notion. So you give the money for his advice. Many times Rebbeim have very good advice. Sometimes not, but sometimes they have very good advice. But to think the exchange of the money will suffice and therefore everything will straighten out, I can tell you there are many tragedies like that. That doesn't happen. Yeah, I mean, so that's what we discussed a few weeks ago. I mean, look, you're asking the wrong person. Yitz is not here tonight. He's the resident chassid, the vizhnitzer. I'm a snagid. What can I tell you? But where do we find the notion that a human being can bless another human being? I don't see that notion. You have Birchas Kohanim, but there it's not even their bracha. They're conveying God's bracha. If Yitzchak Avinu blessing his sons, but that was a special nevuah that he had. Beyond that, I mean, Moshe blessed them, but he blessed that God should bless them. That's really the bracha. As I'm always a little weary of these things. You've noticed I never give brachas to a bar mitzvah. I'll give a tefillah. I'll say, you should be mispal, you should be such and such. But if I'll give you a bracha, who am I to give anyone brachas? Where did that come from? Now, the question becomes, how have we strayed so far from the Derech HaTorah? What happened to tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, and ma'asim tovim, that they're not enough? How do we veer into the realm of farce and fantasy, and this time under rabbinical supervision, just like the non-Jews, and just like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, like the idolaters? In this case, we're absolutely no different. So we think we have a holy veneer on it, so it's better. It's really not better. It's exactly the same thing. It's positing almost the antithesis of Torah, a counterfeit system that's removed from that of Schar V'Onesh. Well, what happens is we've descended into both ignorance and insecurity, and both of them combine to vitiate any true understanding that we have of this Yisod. Insecurity, of course. I don't know if it's worse today. I know it existed even in 19th century Europe. But because of the questions that we have, tzaddik v'ra'lo, if you see a tzaddik, he's suffering, so you think maybe there's more to it than schar v'onesh and the persecution, the Holocaust, so it's hard to accept aver as the cause. We think there must be something else swirling about, so we create that. Of course, a person who cannot accept this ikur and believes in this type of magic is positing something else as well, which is just as harmful, and that is, let's say a person does ma'asim tovim and doesn't do any of these things. Would a just God deprive someone of the bracha, of the schar that they're entitled to, whether it's children or health or parnasa, because he didn't do something so frivolous as drink from this bottle of water or liquor, whatever it is? Or would he grant someone blessings because he's wearing a thread and another person is not wearing a thread? Is that what a just God would do? That's what the Rambam ends. I don't know if he could have anticipated this type of deviance. Hashofet kolartz l'yasa mishpat. Isn't there any sense of justice? Yeah, we struggle with how God manages his world, but we conclude that he manages his world Kedarko HaKadosha, according to his holy ways. We don't know. That was last week's shir. But to base it on that which is frivolous, that we have to reject. Otherwise, we'll all go completely insane, because then the Torah doesn't make any sense. If any of this is true, all these advertisements, then you don't need this yisod. All you'd have to do is take care of all these things. Print his farm and drink his liquor or water and go to this one for a bracha, and you'll have no other problems. How could that be? That would negate everything we've been taught. So really the burden of proof is on the mystics and not on the misnagdim. Well, what about schar mitzvah in this world? Schar v'onesh? Look at the Mishnah in Peah, beginning of Peah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, number 6, the bottom right. We say this in the morning. Eilu dvarim she'ein lahem shiur. These are matters that don't have any shiur, any limit. Peah bikurim rayon, gilus chasadim talmud Torah. And then, the point here, Eilu dvarim she'odim ocho perasem olam hazeh, vakaren kayemus lo olam haba. There are certain things that a person eats the fruit thereof in this world, but the principle is still stored, reserved for him in the world to come. There's a benefit here and there. Kibud avayim, gemilus chasodim, hava shalom benam lechavero, talmud Torah keneged kulam. Honoring parents and acts of kindness and bringing peace between people, and talmud Torah all exceeds all of them. All right, but the fact is, not every mitzvah is like that. Turn the page. Look at number 15. This is the Gemara Kiddushin. Shachlamet Tesla Mabez. Starting the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Kol osa mitzvah achas mitivin lo. A person who does one mitzvah, good things happen to him. Marichin lo yomav, he has arichas yomim, length of days, nochas aretz, he merits olam haba. V'chol she'ena osa mitzvah achas, ein mativin lo. A person doesn't do the mitzvah, good is not done for him, he has no arichas yomim, he's not zoch olam haba. So now the Gemara asks for a minu. The Mishnah and Peah would seem to contradict this, because the Mishnah says, "Eilu v'rm shadam ochel perisem olam hazeh, v'karen kayemus lo olam haba." There's certain things a person eats the fruit thereof in this world, the principles are stored, and he has the list here. But the Mishnah said for every mitzvah, our Mishnah and Kiddushin, the Mishnah and Peah said only for those. So Gemara answers, "Amar v'yir hachikama kol osa mitzvah achas yisera al zchuyosav mitiv lo." A person that does one mitzvah more than his zchuyos, assuming that they're equal, zchuyos and avonos, then mativan lo, then he's zochet to good. V'doma k'mishim ekayim kol haTorah kula, and he's like one who's fulfilled the entire Torah, meaning if the scales become unbalanced with one mitzvah in our favor. Michalas, the Gemara asks, do we see from here the Hanach Afilu Bechad Anami, that those mentioned in Peyot, Kibet Aveim, Milas Chasodim, etc., you only have to do one of those, that's enough? The Gemara says, no. Omrav Shmaya, Lomar, Shem Haisa Shkula Machras, that in fact, if you have equal Avonos and equal Schuyos, and amongst your Schuyos are one from this, these categories of Kibbut Avem, Kibbut Chesed, Talmud Torah, etc., then that tips the balance because those are considered extra meaningful. Now the Gemara continues, V'chol osa mitzvah achas yisera l'zchuyosav metivin lo. Do we really say if a person does even one mitzvah more than his avonos, good happens to him? So Bryce, that contradicts that. Braminu, kol shel zchuyosav merub me'avonosav, whoever zchuyos, his merits, exceed his sins, merin lo, bad happens to him. V'doma k'misha sarf kol haTorah kula, he's like someone who burnt the Torah, didn't even leave one os. And conversely, v'chol shavonosav merubin mizchuyosav, whoever's iniquities exceed his merits, mitivin lo, good happens to him. V'dama k'misha kiyam kol haTorah kula, v'chisor asachas men, he's like one who fulfilled the whole Torah. How could that be? It seems to be the reverse. So the Gemara answers, no. Amar Abaye masnisim da'avin le yom tav yom bish. It means that when we say mitivin lo, merian lo, it's talking about a rasha or a tzaddik respectively. That is to say, a person whose merits exceed his sins in this world, so he'll find some punishment in this world. And that's considered a yamatava. It's a yom tov for him. Why? Look at Rashi. Misaklin lo, it's about 5 lines from the bottom, number 16. Misaklin lo ba'olam hazeh yom tov. We make a festival, so to speak, for him. Shenifra mimen avonosav. Because God takes retribution for his sins. Vizeh tikun yom tov lo olam haba. And that's considered the rectification of his world to come. So that's really Yom Tov. When his merits exceed his sins, he's punished. That's a good thing. And when the Rasha's sins exceed his merits, and he is rewarded for the Rasha, that's a bad thing. Marian lo, hana da'avinle hazmanas yom bish. It's a bad day. Shemeshalman lo schar mitzvosov kan, lios mesukun lo yom ra. In fact, he's paid in this world, so in the next world, he cannot exist. All he has is retribution. That's what the Gemara says. But now the Gemara continues. That was Abaye's opinion. Amar, Rav Amar, Hamani. Whose opinion is this? Rabbi Yaakov he. The Amar Schar Mitzvah by Hal Molecha. Rabbi Yaakov said there is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. None. That's the point I made earlier and again about a month and a half ago. With Rabbi Yaakov, how could it be? What could it possibly be something that's the equivalent in value to Torah? There can't be anything. Torah is spiritual. It's abstract. The physical is always less than that. There's no good that can come to us, not even life, not even health, that can qualify as something that's the equivalent of Torah. It can't be in this world. The Tanya of Yaakov Omer, Ein lecha kol mitzvah, mitzvah shekzuvah b'Torah shematn shor mitzidah, shen tchias ha-meisen tuyaba. There's no mitzvah written in the Torah that has its reward written in within it, which is not dependent on the resurrection. You have only two. Kibud av v'ein, man yarichun yomecho, and shluch hakein. Also, man yitzav afarach t'yomim. See, here you have a case. It was an actual case. Haresh omer lo'oviv alela b'ira v'hove l'gozalos. A father said to his son, go to the top and bring down the young birds. In order to take send away the mother. Ola bira, shilach esaim, nafas esabonim. The son went up. He fulfilled both those mitzvahs that promised longevity. He listened to his father's command. He sent away the mother bird, and on his way down, chazir asad nafal omeis. He fell and he died. Heichan tovas yamo sholzeh, heichan arichas yamo sholzeh. So where is his good in this world? Where is his arichas yamim? El, as Rabbi Yaakov said, l'man yitav lach, it'll be good for you, la'olam shekulo tov. No, that like Reb Sajigon said, that's only in the world that's all good. In the existence that's all good. L'man yarichon yamecha, you have length of days, that's la'olam shekulo aroch. That's in the world that's eternal, the world that's always long. This is a world that's not all good, and this is a world that's certainly not long. And therefore, the true reward, Rabbi Yaakov said, can't be there. Now, the Marsha says in 17, it's getting a little late to read it inside, especially with the small print, but the Marsha says, he accepts what Rabbi Yaakov said with one caveat. The third line, large line, the Yishlomar, Rabbi Yaakov, the moda deschus harabim umaseim hatovim mevim lohem kol abrachos hatavos shenizku betor gamol amazeh. The Marsha says that what Rabbi Yaakov is talking about in the Gemara applies to an individual. With an individual, you can't make those calculations. But when it comes to the rabbim, to the multitude, if Am Yisrael is doing mitzvahs, doing ma'isim tovim, then we're zocha to the brachos and the tovos, the blessings and the good that the Torah promises to God's faithful servant. Nonetheless, not everyone agrees with Rabbi Yaakov. You see, the Mishnah did not agree with Rabbi Yaakov. The Mishnah, right here in Kiddushin, for that matter, the Mishnah and Tei also didn't agree with Rabbi Yaakov. Because our Mishnah says, Kol ha'osa mitzvah achas mitivin lo. So the fact that Tzchah mitzvah b'hai al-malekho is very well known and is very cogent, nonetheless, it's his opinion. Not everyone accepts that opinion. Among those who didn't necessarily accept it is Rabbi Nosson in the Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, a very fascinating story. Not exactly a bedtime story to tell your children, but a very interesting story. Rabbi Nosson said in the Brayis of Tanya, "Ein l'cha kol mitzvah kal sheksuva b'Torah sheman schor be'olam hazeh." There's no mitzvah, even a light mitzvah, a simple mitzvah written in the Torah that doesn't have a reward in this world. And in the next world, who knows, it'll be much greater. Seilman mitzvah tzitzis. Tzitzis, it's a trivial, it's a simple mitzvah that we have. And look at the profound nature of the mitzvah. He had a person who was very zohir in mitzvah tzitzis, very careful about the mitzvah tzitzis. Shoma she'ezona b'karcha ayom shenotelos dalad me'el zuhubim b'shara. He heard it was a prostitute on a distant island who charged 400 gold coins as her fee. He was very machmir tzitzis. On women he was less machmir. Okay. He went, Shigelo arba me'el zuhubim b'kavol hazman. He sent her the money. Not even a check. Credit card, sent to the gold coins, the Kovel Ozman made up a time to meet. Kishigi Ozmano, Bava Yashav Al Pesach, he came, sat at the door, Nichnisa Shivchasov, Omrala, her maidservant came to her and said, Oso Adam Sheshigaloch, Dal Meozulim, Bava Yashav Al Pesach, the man who sent you the 400 gold coins. I imagine it was then an exorbitant fee. She said, he's outside, he's here. Omra, he, yikones. Come in, nechnas, he came in. He tzilo zayin mito, sheshal kesev achas ozov. She set up seven mattresses, six of silver, one of gold, and each one had a ladder of silver and gold on top. I mean, it's a very exotic locale. Upscale, they would say. Also, the yashal gabe eliona kishia ruma. She stripped and she ascended to the very top. I guess the point is that she'd be this alluring presence at the top of all these ladders that he would climb to. V'af hu ala leishev aram kenegdon. He too ascended in order to sit unclothed next to her. He was unclothed. Bo dalat titi asa v'tapchu lo al panav. He's taken off his tzitzis and his tzitzis hit him in the face. Tzitzis hit him in the face. Wake up call. Nishmat v'yashal agave karka. So he got up and he sat down on the ground. Went all the way down to the ground. Sat there. She sat down as well. Came down. Amra lo. She said to him, Gapas Aromi, Roman divinity. Any menichatcha ashtom ali mamumra isabi. I'm not letting you go until you tell me what blemish you found in me. The highest paid pastor in the world. On my law, he said, Havodah, by the service in the Mikdash, Shlo Ra'isi Isha Yafoka Moseh. I've never seen a more beautiful woman than you. Ela mitzvah achas, Yon Hashem Elokeinu v'titishma. God commanded us one mitzvah called titzis that says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Shtei Pamim. At the beginning of the pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Seis, Yishem Eretz Hashem Elokeichem, Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem twice, beginning and end. Ani hu she'asu li para, Ani hu she'asu l'sham sar. I am God. I am the Lord your God. I am the God who will take retribution. I am the God who will reward. Achshav nidmu alai kedalad edim. So my four tzitzios became four witnesses who will testify against me. All right? Good drasha? Omer lo, she said to him, Eini manichacha ashetom ali ma shimcha, ma shem ircha, ma shem rabcha, ma shem midrashcha, shatalomeh batora. What a scene. She said, I'm not letting you until you tell me your name, where you're from, who's your Rebbe, what Beis Medrash you learned in. And she also was impressed by this. Kosav and Nosan Beyodra. He wrote out a piece of paper, gave it to her. Then he left. So did she. Omda v'chilcha kol nechaseha, shlish l'malchu, shlish l'aniyin, shlish natla v'yadra. She's very wealthy. She gave a third of her wealth to the government, a third to the poor, a third she kept, traveled to Eretz Yisrael. Chutz nosa matzos, so she kept those frames, the mattresses. She came, basa beis medrash r'b'chia. She came to b'chia's beis medrash. Omra lo rebi, saveh alai v'yasini diyoris. Tell me what to do, I want to convert. Amar lo biti, he said to my daughter, Shema einayich nasat ve'echa min atamidim, you have your eyes on one of our students. She took out the paper, showed it to him, and he said to her, L'chi zaki b'metafech, go and you've won your prize, your purchase. Oson matzo shehitzio lo be'iser, hitzio lo be'heter. The same exotic, provocative, erotic setup she had wherever she was. She set up in her new home with his Talmud. And the Gemara ends, Zem matan so ba'olam hazeh, olam haba eini yadeh kama. That's his reward in this world. In the world to come, who knows what his reward can be. Alright, very interesting Gemara. So you see, Rav Nosson said, there is schar in this world. That's the schar. What's the schar? So clearly the schar is not the candy bar. The schar is not the woman, but the schar is the mitzvah itself, the benefit of the mitzvah. So Rav Nosson says there's no mitzvah that doesn't have a schar in this world. That means that there's no mitzvah that does not carry with it an innate benefit. Spiritual benefit, of course, to the person. Every mitzvah perfects us. Every mitzvah challenges us. Every mitzvah, if we understand it properly, makes us better people. Every mitzvah. So that's the schar. That's how the Marsha understands it. And so the Marsha says, it's in number 18, if you want to strain your eyes, Marsha says, there's no machlokas between Reb Yaakov and Reb Nosson. Reb Yaakov is speaking about schar generally, the reward that will be attuned to the soul. But what Reb Nosson said, that there is a schar for mitzvahs in this world, he means it in the sense of what we say in Avos, schar mitzvah, mitzvah. And the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. I'll just note in 19, the Ian Yaakov disagrees. And Ian Yaakov says, no, there really is a machlokas. Reb Nosson says there is a schar. Reb Yaakov says there isn't a schar. But I think that is the better way to understand it. Another point that the Maharsha mentions here is that you see the Mishnah payoff, that Shtokah Mitzvahs, that Odom Ocho Perasim Olam Hazeh, Vakeren Kayemes Olam Abo, the Maharsha says that when a person does those mitzvahs, they are never diminished by any sin. They always stand. Sigmilus Chasodim, you're powerful. Kibbut Aveim, powerful. Hachmas Avarosim, powerful. The Talmud Torah can get Kulam. A person who's involved in Torah study is incomparable. There's nothing that compares to it. And even Averos cannot detract from it. Finally, and apropos of the Gemara here, Menachos Daf Mdala Med Aleph, the Rambam says in the beginning of Perek Tes of Hilchos Tshuva that the real schar is not the physical schar. The Torah does mention, you're saying Kriya Shema every day, the rain will fall, in B'chukosai Teilechu, V'nasati Gishmeichem B'itom, and we'll have the Peros Aretz, and we'll Rishat Mu'vetach Bartzachem, of prosperity, security, peace, all those good things. So it seems there is a reward. No. Rambam says, number 21, we'll read it briefly, once we posit that the real good, the real reward is life, eternal life in the next world, that's the world of souls, and the nekama that the Rishon will suffer is the loss of this life, that's kares, then how do we understand what the Torah says, im tishmu yagi lachem kach? If you obey, such and such will happen to you. Im lo tishmu yikrasam kach. And if you don't listen, the other things will happen to you. The chol osan advar molam azen. All these things are this worldly. Kigon, sova, verov, prosperity and famine, nochama, shalom, war, peace, malchus, shiflus, will rule and will be subjugated. Yeshiva saaretz v'golus. We'll be in Eretz Yisrael, we'll be in exile. Hatzlachas masad es seidel. We'll succeed in our actions and we'll fail. U'sharkol divrei bris. All these things are true, the Rambam says, and it's all part of the mitzvos, but here's the point. Afal pichein, it's the bold. Ein osan atovos, ein sof machan schon shal mitzvos, ve osan aros, ein sof an akoma shenokim me overal kol ha-mitzvos. When the Torah speaks of those goods, I hesitate to call them rewards, that's not the reward, nor is the punishment if we suffer, golus, war, famine, etc., nor is that a punishment in this world necessarily. All it means is as follows. Skip down a line. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosan on a Torah zoe tzchaimu. God gave us a Torah, it's a tree of life. A person who observes the Torah and he knows it clearly, he merits eternal life. How will we judge? Everyone is judged in accordance with the abundance of their deeds and the majority of their wisdom. The Torah promises us that if we serve God wholeheartedly and joyously, then sheyosu mimenu kol advarim hamonim osanim ilasosa, God will remove from us all those impediments to mitzvos, like holy illness, milchama v'rav, war, famine, kayotzi bahan. And in its place, yashpi alano kol atovos hamachzikos es yodeinu lasos haTorah, kigon sova v'shom v'ribi kesed esav, and God will do those things that will enable us to do more mitzvos. Kadesh shalom nasa kol yameinu b'dvarim shaguf tzarchon, so we don't waste our time having to work hard for our physical needs, so we'll take away time from our Torah. Elaneshe pnuyim lumo dechachma v'lasos ha-mitzvah kadesh nizkol ha-yom haba. But we'll work a little and make enough. We'll be able to sit and learn and thereby merit the world to come. And the converse is also true, that if we abandon the Torah willfully, v'nasok v'hevel azman, and if we engage in nonsensical acts, v'yishman yishun v'yivad, shedayna emes yachsin in ha'uzim kol tovo solom azeh, so God will remove from us all our access to the good of this world that strengthened us, emboldened us to kick away the Torah, and will bring us all those evil things that will prevent us from acquiring life in the next world. In other words, what we're saying is that the rewards, as they're written in the Torah, are really facilitators. God promises us, in b'chukosai teilechu, if we do the right thing, then He'll facilitate our avodas Hashem by giving us the good of this world that if we didn't have, they would be impediments. God will remove all impediments to mitzvahs, like war, poverty, illness, etc., to create a situation that fosters shmiras ha-mitzvahs. Conversely, if we don't, then avera goreres avera. Then God will remove all those and just let nature take its course. We'll suffer from persecution and poverty and all those other things. But that's really this worldly, but those aren't rewards. They're basically, God will create a situation where we'll be able to be zochel olam haba because it'll be easier in this world. But the real schar has to be olam haba. Schar is the perfection of the soul that allows it eternal life. It can only be in the next world. And onesh is the harm to the soul that deprives it of eternal life. Thus in our world, schar mitzvah mitzvah. Mitzvahs have an inherent benefit. There's nothing else that can be as great as is desirable with mitzvahs, because Torah mitzvahs are the most desirable. But schar v'onesh is a very key yisod in terms of our relationship with Hashem, in terms of understanding ourselves and the chira chavshus, in terms of understanding the framework of our existence of olam hazeh and olam haba. It is critical, and therefore we say, pillar 11, ani mamin b'muna shleima, shabori yisbarach shmo, gomel tov l'shomei mitzvosav, that God bestows good upon those who observe His commandments, u'na'anish v'ovrei mitzvosav, and He punishes those who violate His commandments. I thank you all, v'lamazinim, very much. Have a good night. Okay, we're on hiatus now for a few weeks.